Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Welcome to Cubby Corner on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
As Bertuzzi drives one in the air, deep left, back it goes, gone.
And his fastball is belted, a no-doubter out towards left center. Boy, the only question is how far did it fly?
Now, here are the voices of South Bend Cubs baseball. Your hosts, Max Toma and Brendan King.
And welcome into another edition of the Cubby Corner on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Your South Bend Cubs broadcast duo, Max Toma, not Max Payne, and Brendan King with you. And the Cubs just finished up yesterday a six-game series with the first-place Quad Cities River Bandits. The River Bandits winning the finale on Sunday and taking the series 4-2. BK, let's talk about a more grand approach. I think first, biggest takeaways from the week that was.
I'm going to go, in most cases, the starting pitching, which was really, really good. And it ended on Sunday with Tyler Schlaefer's most productive outing in the last, let's call it, 2+ years. Because not only did he go the longest outing he's had since Tommy John surgery, it was the best outing. I mean, 4 innings of 1-run ball. He walked only one, struck out 2. And, you know, I think early in the season, when you're coming back from Tommy John, probably the last thing to come is the true command. Now, you could throw hard, but it's a matter of can you paint the corners? And I think yesterday we truly saw what he could bring to the plate. Pair that with another great Brody McCullough outing in South Bend. Sam Armstrong's been great as well in piggyback fashion. I think you're setting the table nicely for this coming week in Lansing.
Yeah, Drew Gray was also very solid. And Sam Armstrong, you know, when we talk about the starting pitching being solid, is a guy who has been a starter, now piggybacking with Brody McCullough. We'll see what the future holds for this starting rotation. But a guy who was very solid. It's great to see Schlaefer out there dealing. And I like what you were talking about because, you know, the muscle memory isn't there, right? And now he's building back up to that, building back up with the velo and building back up with the length in terms of him giving 4 innings. Getting that final out of the 4th inning felt big for him. But going to the other side of the baseball and the sticks, guy who I don't think we've talked about on the Cubby Corner yet, but we certainly need to now, and that is what we're seeing from Jonathan Long the last 4 days. Couple of home runs, had the huge day on Saturday where he had a 2-run bomb and drove in 4 runs, got 8 RBIs over the last few games. What do you think has clicked for him offensively?
Well, it's funny because we're going to talk to South Bend Cubs hitting coach Nate Spears about a bunch of guys in the next segment, and Jonathan Long is going to be one of them, just about what's clicking. Now, April in the Midwest League, we've said this multiple times on this show. I'm excited that we don't have to talk about April anymore on this show after the next couple days because April, to me, again, truly a wash, just in most cases on the mound at the plate. But now you see a guy, like you said, in Jonathan Long that is getting hot. And in that first weekend with the ultra-crazy wind experience in Davenport, he had a couple line drives that were either caught or he had a line drive that was off the wall that was called an error on the right fielder. In any case, tough breaks that first weekend, but I loved the series in particular because when he hit that home run opposite field in right on Saturday when Max Bain was in, he also had another base hit oppo. But then on Sunday, we saw him use the left side of the field and pull the ball. I think that's the biggest thing I took away from Jonathan Long is he's willing to use both sides of the field, which in this league is going to play well.
And Jonathan Long, who, you know, we heard Lance Brozdowski a couple weeks ago on Marquee Sports Network talk about how, you know, Long played in California, not a guy who's really been playing much north of the Mason-Dixie line, hasn't played much in 50 degrees and below. So now, all of a sudden, hey, we're looking at first pitch temps in the mid-70s, and this guy's starting to swing it like we know he's capable, like he did Myrtle at the end of last year, and like he did at Long Beach State throughout his college days.
Yeah, absolutely. And just saw the forecast for Lansing next week. It looks good. We are not going to have a day below 65, which is super refreshing. And that means the next homestand at Four Winds Field 2 weeks from now against Sheldon Reed and the Cedar Rapids Colonels, seemingly going to be terrific weather, and can't wait to see everybody again.
And we'll talk more about that Lansing series coming up in the final segment here today, because I know you got another Education Day game coming up, it looks like, on Wednesday. But other guys offensively, Pedro Ramirez is a kid who we talked about at the beginning of the year, was a teenager at the beginning of the month, just turned 20, was a guy who got off to a slow start. It looked a little sluggish, but boy, over this hitting streak, which is now up to six games, he is hitting the baseball. You talk about long using, you know, the coverage of the whole field. Pedro Ramirez is just slapping the ball everywhere. He's stealing bases more. He only stole one, or he only walked, excuse me, once in the first three series, and it was in the opening series versus Quad Cities. Now he has walked in three of the last four games. He's been more patient. Put it on base machine.
How about 12 hits in your last seven games? That'll play at the top of the order, and we've talked a lot about Brett Bateman as well. Now you're starting to see a little bit of a 1-2 punch with Bateman and Ramirez, which you really didn't get because, if you remember, of course, Brennan Davis was rehabbing in South Bend for over a week, and Brennan was hitting in that 2 spot on rehab. So Pedro kind of had to settle in the 6 or 7 spot. Now he's getting an opportunity in the 2 hole, and he's taking advantage.
If you didn't tune in for yesterday's series finale, BK and I were also talking about, you know, the breakdown of this lineup moving forward, where you got Bateman 1, Ramirez 2. Keep in mind, we didn't see Jefferson Rojas, who's an everyday player, obviously, but getting a nice double day off by not playing Sunday. Then you got a red-hot Jonathan Long all of a sudden, who seems like he has returned to his golden days at the plate. And, you know, Hendrick Piñango has consistently, throughout pretty much every series this year, been a top 10 bat in the Midwest League. So all of a sudden, you got five guys there that are you're really, really confident in. Mm-hmm. And if you can get the likes of, you know, Brian Colmer back to what he was doing in Myrtle Beach last year, Felix Stevens, what we know he is capable of. And don't forget that Rafael Morel just struggled this past series, but I think he entered this week hitting 363.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was the time of year a couple years ago where we saw Ed Howard start to get hot before the injury, unfortunately. And, of course, it's been a battle back since that point. So, yeah, things are definitely going to get better. This is a big series at Lansing against the Lugnuts team that has a lot of prospects. Of course, they're with the A's, and we know what the A's look like at the big league level. But they are definitely better at the minor league level. So this is a massive battle test series, and if you can get a couple wins, you're right back in it.
Don't think we get to see our guy Max Muncy anymore.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, we'll see what kind of Arellano type names. Actually, Eurubiel Angeles.
That was the name.
We got
of the,
it.
That was the name of the year last year. Him and Alex Iadesernia. Have you checked our roster? Is he on the team?
Angeles is there.
Angeles is there. Boy, book it. He'll be probably in the lineup tomorrow night when we do get there. This is the Cubby Corner with BK and Max. When we come back, BK sat down with South Bend Cubs hitting coach Nate Spears. That's coming up right here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Hey, welcome back on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. This is the Cubby Corner, off day for the South Bend Cubs, heading to Lansing tomorrow to take on the Lugnuts. I'm Brendan King alongside South Bend Cubs hitting coach. It is Nate Spears. Spearsy, good to be with you. Thanks for the time. A start to the season, and you have coached northern parts of the world. You've coached eastern. You've coached all throughout the country. The month of April, no matter where you are, could definitely be inconsistent. But before I ask you about the team, just gazing out at Four Winds Field right now, we're sitting in the dugout. Your thoughts on calling Four Winds Field home for the first month or so and how you like to transition here to South Bend?
April can be an animal with weather early in the season. It's been cold, but Four Winds Field is an absolute gorgeous ballpark. The fans, since the weather's been awesome the last 2 days, have come out and supported us with great crowds. The beauty of the apartments in the background, the downtown South Bend, like it doesn't get much better visuals than here at Four Winds Field.
Spearsy, you kind of just alluded to it. The month of April can be inconsistent with bats. You're overseeing the hitting department, but just your thoughts on the first month at the plate, because there's been some unluckiness for sure in ball games this season so far, but just your general happiness of how things have rolled so far at the plate.
We got a good group of position players. They've put in the work in the cages and in spring training, and now we're just trying to seek some or reap some rewards in the game out here in April. We've put together some good at bats. We've fought. We've clawed. Some of the games just haven't gone our way, and that's baseball. Baseball happens. Sometimes when you pitch, you don't hit. Sometimes when you hit, you don't pitch. And you got kind of just got to take care of your own job. Everybody needs to take care of their business and just keep pushing forward. This game will humble you and continue to humble you for years to come. But I love this game. It's a great game, and it just teaches you a lot of character.
Got to ask you about a guy, Yohendrick Piñango. It's his third full season in South Bend, and he's still only 21 years old. That's what Max and I talk about in the booth all the time. He's still a very young guy at the third level or third year of high A. Won a championship here in 2022, but there's a big difference from 2022 Piñango to now 2024 Piñango. On Sunday, he was on base four times, three walks, and a homer, but the three walks put him now at 15 on the year. That's half of the amount he had in 2022 in 100-some games. He's played about 17 games now. I realize you're new to the organization, but just seeing this guy at 21 become such a patient hitter, how can that pay dividends for him down the road because he's got a lot of power too?
He probably gets pitched the toughest top two on the team, and with him going in there in the box, hunting his pitch and being a selective hitter has helped him, one, get on base because they haven't given him a whole lot of pitches to hit. And then when they do, he's ready to hit it just like he did today. And he drove a changeup down in the zone out of the ballpark, which was maybe the second or third strike that he saw on the day. When he gets a pitch in the zone that he's looking for, he doesn't miss it. His work in the cages has been locked. He comes in there with a focus every single day. He works hard to try to get out of here. I know this is his third year at this level, but he has been very mature. Guys have kind of seeked him out to ask him questions of what he's doing in the box right now because he's just locked with the walks, with the base hits, with the extra base hits, the timely hitting. Like I could just keep going on and on about this kid. He's carried our offense a little bit between him and Jefferson Rojas, and then a few others here and there. But it's been fun having him, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to have him, but I hope to see him in the box for at least a couple more weeks so he can help us out.
A guy you just mentioned, Jefferson Rojas, didn't play on Sunday, well-deserved off day. Hard to believe. The guy just turned 19 this past week. He's on a 14-game hitting streak. He is everything as advertised as a top 30 prospect with the Cubs. But, you know, people might just see the numbers. You see the story and you see the kid every day. What's he like to coach?
He brings the energy. He plays this game with passion and emotion. When he's in the box, he doesn't look like a 19-year-old. He's a very mature hitter, very advanced approach, looking for his pitch up in the zone. And when he gets it, he puts a good swing on it. Mm-hmm. Even his work in the cage is very advanced, the way he goes about his business. The challenge work that he does in the cage, the way he handles failure in the box, like just those things just don't happen for a 19-year-old. There's a lot of growing pains in this game. And in the box, he just seems very polished, gets after it in the cages and his work, and constantly asks questions. He wants to be great. He watches great hitters, tries to emulate them, and he's just fun to be around. Fun to be around.
Nate Spears is our guest, South Bend Cubs hitting coach. Spears, the last individual guy I wanted to talk about is Jonathan Long, who had himself a heck of a series. Five RBIs in his last three games. He hit two home runs this week. I realize he had a little bit of unluckiness on the road in Quad Cities on that opening weekend, both due to weather and due to calls, but he seems like he's really finding his stroke.
Yeah, when you're hitting the ball hard and they're not falling for you, sometimes you think you need to do more in this game, and when in reality, you just got to keep doing what you're doing, and they will soon fall for you. So he started to press just a little bit. the move started to get just a little bit bigger, but when we were able to condense his move, he got back to the Johnny Long that we know and started to find some success this week, which was really good for him.
Nate Spears, our guest. Nate, you're a former big leaguer with the Boston Red Sox, but your story from that point goes back a long, long way. At one point, a Chicago Cubs farmhand, started with the Orioles, though, and you were involved in a pretty big deal in the Cubs org. Corey Patterson at the time, who was once a high-level prospect himself, you were traded to the Cubs from the O's in the Patterson deal. So you were once in the same position as these guys. I know you're a former Tennessee Smoky, former Iowa Cub. When you joined the Cubs organization, and obviously you couldn't even fathom to think that you'd be in this position now, way off in your career being a hitting coach in the Cubs org. But when you joined the Cubs organization, take me through that time. What was that moment like?
I was actually working out at the Orioles facility in the offseason, got the call from my agent that I had been traded, and I kind of wanted to finish my workout. So I asked, am I allowed to finish my workout here? And they all were like, no, you are no longer employed here. If you get hurt, it is somebody's butt. So I had to shut my workout down mid-workout. Wow. And basically drive home as I was calling my family to let them know that I had been traded. So I didn't even finish my workout that day. And then it was a whirlwind of emotions going from one organization to another, trying to impress them and make my name everyday name in that org when I had already made a name for myself with the Orioles. So it was kind of a bump in the road, put a little bit of pressure on myself. But like I said earlier, this game will humble you. And if you haven't been humbled, you're about to be humbled in this game. And I just kind of kept persevering. Knew I wasn't ready for the real world yet. I knew I wanted to continue fighting for my career. And it just kind of kept going. And after the Cubs, I became a free agent, and the Red Sox gave me a shot. Had a really good year in 2010, kind of resurrected my career. Finally went to my first big league camp in 11, got to meet Terry Francona, who was probably my favorite manager I had ever been around, next to Arnie Baylor, who was my AAA manager with the Red Sox. And I just kept going. It was like one year after another. I had gotten a little cup of coffee, got a little taste, which motivated me even more. Got after it in the off season, went to another big league camp, and I just kept fighting and clawing to make my dream come true. And it wasn't very long, but I was able to say that I played in the big leagues. I'm able to relate with some of these players through the everyday grind of what the minor league system is all about. I played multiple positions. I had the everyday role. I had the off the bench role. I had the once a week role. I had the dev role. So I have a lot of experience, and I'm always just trying to give back any way I can. This game is just an awesome game, a humbling game, and it just teaches you a lot about life, and you build character. And I will never take this game for granted, and I just love being able to call this a career and a job and continue in this great game.
Of course, Terry Francona, one-time manager in South Bend when the White Sox were here way back in the day. Last thing I got for you, Spearsy, you turned to a coaching career, started with the Red Sox. You were a Red Sox hitting coach. Nick Lovello, one of your former players, and now he is the manager here in South Bend. So what was it like having Nick as a player? And the second part of the question is, how have you seen him grow all the way up now to becoming a manager of his own?
Nick was a great player, respected the game, played the game hard. But sometimes this game kicks you in the butt and we don't get to go where we're going or where we want to go. So being reconnected with Nick, still shares the same passion, has a lot of insight about this game. His dad is a big league manager, so there's a lot of pedigree there. I'm sure he's constantly talking to his dad and asking him questions. And he's constantly asking the staff here questions. Like, he wants to grow as a manager, and he wants to be the best manager and the best version of himself for these players. So It's been great to reconnect with him. There's a lot of trust that we had already had since I had had him as a player. So I know Nick's got my back and I have his back. And when you can work in that kind of atmosphere, like walls can be broken. Mm-hmm. It's fun to come to work every day, knowing that he cares and that he's got your back, and then that he just brings the best version out of you. So I can't say much more than that. Like that's about the best thing that I could say, is that he tries to bring out the best version in the people around him, and that's when those things happen, good things happen.
Nate Spears, new South Bend Cubs hitting coach, our guest on the Cubby Corner. We'll come back with more on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Back here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT as we continue along with the Cubby Corner, Max Thoma and Brendan King. You just heard from South Bend Cubs hitting coach Nate Spears. And Mike, we've talked about, you know, this team and the early season struggles where they have mostly come on the mound. And generally, it's not even always been getting hit hard. It's just been a lack of control, which makes you think, first off, kind of, you know, overarching theme here. But if a lot of these guys can find the command and control, this team could be very dangerous. But what I wanted to get to was the offense hasn't been the problem this year. The offense has been better than the team we just saw, Quad Cities, throughout this year. And Quad Cities is the number one team in baseball. So what did you feel like, you know, getting to sit down after the series yesterday and talk with Nate?
Yeah, I think one thing that stood out from the interview is that he can comprehend with just about every guy on the roster, because he's been a big leaguer. He's been, like he said, he's been a developmentless guy. He's been a once-a-week guy. He has been a minor league all-star. He has played to that level. But him getting to the big leagues, that was the thing that meant so much to him, finally getting to the Red Sox. And, of course, I mean, he was once a Cubs prospect himself. He was a Tennessee Smoky. He was an Iowa Cub. He was in the Corey Patterson deal to the Orioles coming back from the Cubs. So Nate Spears has lived just about any role you can in baseball, which I think for a hitting coach plays exactly what you need, because no matter if a guy's doing well or struggling, he can be in the same boat.
So this year there's a lot of new members on the coaching staff, and, you know, we write their bios, we read about them so we can speak about them, but we don't know them. We don't meet them until, you know, the last couple of months, right? And I think an early season story to kind of get you a glimpse at the man that is Nate Spears happened a few days ago over the weekend when, you know, it's pouring rain, the rain stops, but they're doing the Reading Club parade before the game, the tarps out there on the field. And, you know, it doesn't look like the kids are as happy as they normally would be if it's sunny, you know, and if we're playing baseball because the rain delay is happening. But there's Nate Spears out there with a bunch of baseballs, putting smiles on kids' faces just by going out and handing out a bunch that were laying around.
Yeah, and it's cool because his son was in town this week, and he took his son in the performance center to hit. If they had not been maintaining the field yesterday after the game, his son was going to go take some ground balls too. So I think he is now a dad of three. He said he has twins as well. So congrats to the Spears family. And yeah, he is a good baseball man, and looking forward to working with him the rest of the year.
Well, we were at Wrigley Field a couple of weeks ago too. I think he was FaceTiming his family.
That's right.
They looked like when we came out onto the field, yep, too. So coming up tomorrow night, 6:05 first pitch, because the day following you have an 11:05 a.m. first pitch. Then it's back to the normal 7:05 up at Jackson Field. But BK, your thoughts returning to a place that you have not been to in a long time?
It's been a while. Good old Jackson Field up in Lansing. I haven't been there since 2019, so it'll be good to see Jesse Goldberg Strassler in his home environment and to hear him sing the stretch, because he does that during every game. Yeah, it's a great facility. It's weird because there are two roads that run past the ballpark, and they're both one way. So cars are going straight, cars are coming in from the other way. It's just a couple blocks from Michigan State's campus. And pretty exciting. Probably Mitchell Taranski is going to make his South Bend Cubs debut, who the Chicago Cubs inked to a deal. The left-handed pitcher was released by the Dodgers at spring training. He is now a Cub. He pitched in one game with Myrtle Beach. He's now here in South Bend, and Taranski is a Michigan State alum. So Michigan State, who played a bunch of games in that ballpark, including the Crosstown Showdown against the Lansing Lugnuts, he's now going to pitch against the Lugnuts probably this coming week. It'll be good to see him on the mound.
And not that we know at any time what relievers are going to be used, but given the quantity used yesterday, yesterday. He could be a guy that might be pitching tomorrow night.
I mean, heck, he might be the first guy out of the bullpen after Nick Cole. I don't know the rotation confirmed just yet, but if it rolls over, Nick Cole has been the Tuesday man. Tyler Schleifer is getting used to day games. I mean, he has been the Sunday man. That's what happens when you're in a six-man rotation, and the last guy is going to pitch pretty much all the afternoon games on Sundays. But again, like we talked about in segment one, like the look of the rotation this week, and hopefully that can lead to big things.
And you can find out tomorrow night, 6:05 first pitch. The pregame show coming to you 20 minutes prior at 5:45. For Brendan King, and I'm Max Toma. So long for this episode of the Cubby Corner. BK, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. We're back for another Cubby Corner a week from today. You're listening to Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
This has been Cubby Corner on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. South Bend Cubs baseball continues tomorrow. Find the podcast as well as the Cubs schedule at WSBTradio.com. For tickets to all home games, go to SouthBendCubs.com. Cubby Corner is a production of the South Bend Cubs and Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.